In 3, 2, 1. Hello, we are back at it with another episode of the Clippers Beat. It's your host, Nikki Kay. And guess what? It's the reunion. How do we say it when shows come back? The Nick and Nikki show is back. The reboot. The Nick and Nikki show is in reboot. I am joined by Nick Gallo. He is team reporter for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He does it all. He sideline reports. He story tells. I don't know if that's a verb, but he writes. He podcasts. And he even hosts Thunder Player Cook-Offs. So that is pretty epic. And I know the Thunder and Clippers just played a game last night. We're recording this on a Tuesday morning. And the Clippers pulled out a scintillating victory in the final seconds. But, Nick, I gotta say, this Thunder-Clippers matchup has really become the narrative-filled storyline game that we never really saw coming.
Yeah, I think when the two teams made that splash this offseason, they really became the talk of the entire NBA offseason, despite the other major moves that were happening in Los Angeles. Just that blockbuster deal was so groundbreaking for both sides, really, to have the Clippers put together two guys who are coming back to their hometown in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and then for the Thunder to get what's just a record haul of long-term assets, you know, the 5 first-round picks plus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari. No one had really done that before, you know, not to mention the pick swaps that they have in two seasons as well. So that sets up the whole scene for what ended up being a really incredible game yesterday, despite it being a defensive showdown and not very pretty offense.
And not to mention, Nick, the whole Chris Paul story too. I mean, there's just a lot of ties between these two teams. And have Thunder fans started to appreciate the young talent that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is? Because we heard it from Doc last night that Shai might quite possibly be his favorite young player ever.
Yeah, Doc said that he really earned the respect of the veterans on that Clippers team last year, just from the way that he busted their butts in practice. And really, you know, he was a rookie off the floor, but then as soon as he got between the lines, he didn't play like a rookie. And that was something that the guys really appreciated. And to your point, the Thunder fans back in Oklahoma City are definitely on the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander train for sure. They see the responsibility and the workload that he's had to undertake in his second year, you know, double the production from a points and rebounds standpoint. But yet he's still efficient, shooting around 40% from three, and really been an effective player despite going from, you know, probably 5th on scouting reports last season to 1st or 2nd on scouting reports this season. That's so much to put on a second year player, you know, who's barely 21 years old, and he's handled it like a champ.
Yeah, he's so level-headed. I think that's the one characteristic about him that I've heard time and time again, that he just doesn't lose his cool. He doesn't flinch. But I also wanted to use this opportunity to talk to you about Paul George, because through 3 games of his return, we've just seen him do things that I'm guessing you saw up close and personal through the first half of last season when he was on that MVP campaign. And then, you know, the All-Star break hit, and I don't know if it was health-related or something else that kind of caused him to take a couple steps back. But for Clippers fans out there who are getting to witness the excellence that Paul George is able to create in on a night-in, night-out basis, what can you tell them?
Well, what you're seeing right now, you might not get that every single night, but he is an incredibly consistent player. And as you mentioned, last season, before the shoulder injuries derailed his year, he was, in my opinion, the MVP. He scored at all 3 levels of the floor, was having his most efficient shooting season from behind the arc and most productive season from behind the arc. And really, you know, getting to the free throw line at a high rate. Defensively, he was fantastic, as he always is. But, you know, what happens is a guy like that who's exerting himself so much on both ends of the floor, fighting to get through every single screen, taking those hits on his shoulders time and time again, that caught up to him last year. And coming right out of the All-Star break, the very first game out of the All-Star break, He suffered one of two shoulder injuries that he had during the year. And you could just kind of tell he was not quite himself the rest of the way. And, you know, as we've heard in recent reports, Paul feels like a new man after the double shoulder surgeries this summer. And he's certainly showing it in the first week or so that he's been back. A pair of 30-point performances and then the dagger game winner against the Thunder last night.
Yeah, and it's you're right. He said pretty much straight up after the win against Atlanta, he said, if someone is like, hey, what feels different? What's working for you right now? He's like, I got a new shoulder, man, you know? And it's as simple as that. And I don't think people, especially with how tight-lipped and that the Thunder organization operates pretty stealthily, you never heard really any peeps of what might be really holding Paul back after the All-Star break. And it's hindsight's 2020 right now. But for the Thunder locker room, what's the vibe when they kind of reunite with someone like that who was with them, you know, two seasons, but it wasn't important. It was a different chapter of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. Well, I think it's respect. And just to follow up on the point that you just made, you know, really the reason why the word was not out much about PG's shoulders is because PG himself didn't want to make an excuse. He didn't really want it to be this narrative, yeah, the storyline going on about what was going on. And I think that's why, you know, as you asked, you know, the Thunder locker room, all respect, all love for a guy like Paul George, who really took a chance on the organization sight unseen when he came over in that trade, doubled down on it by agreeing to a contract extension. And then, you know, gave two really good seasons to the Thunder, and they tried to make it work, and it didn't quite come together in the playoffs. And when you've got a team that's, you know, going for it, and you know, you know that inevitably there's going to be, you know, some buildup of, mm-hmm, of wishing that they could just break through that wall. And so when Paul George, you know, requested a trade to link up with Kawhi Leonard and to go back home, it was one of those things where the organization had to be as opportunistic as they could in the face of that. And so in a way, I think it kind of worked out for Paul, for obviously for the Clippers and for the Thunder too. You know, they would have loved to have kept Paul, but you know, getting the haul that they got is certainly a pretty darn good consolation prize.
Yeah. And I got to ask you, I mean, granted, the Thunder are frisky right now. They're putting up a fight night in, night out, and they do have a Hall of Famer like Chris Paul on the floor. But this is a different season for you, probably unlike anything you've ever encountered. No Russell Westbrook, no other All-Star currently in the mix. But what's it been like for you to cover a team that's got a different trajectory or maybe different expectations on a night in, night out basis?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no Russell, every single year that I've been with the team since 2012, obviously Russell was there. So very different atmosphere and locker room and that kind of thing, but it's still the same Thunder organization. Yeah. So, you know, as much as things are different in some of the day-to-day stuff, big picture, a lot of the things are very similar. But yeah, I think, you know, for so many years, there was this, you know, whether the team really agreed to it or focused on it is one thing, but there were all sorts of external expectations, yeah, that just mount up and pile up, and internal expectations too. You know, when you have Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you feel this time, this crunch is, we've got to go get this, we've got to do it right now. And I think fans are really appreciating knowing that there's a long vision on this iteration of the Thunder. And, you know, there's, as I like to say, the cupboard is stocked now for another long-term run of success in the future, whether it's the near future or the long-term future, that the fans can kind of sit back and enjoy just the way that this team plays, the fight that young guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Hamed Diallo are showing, the savvy that they're seeing from Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari, and really just the camaraderie and the teamwork you know, it's very rare for an organization to have a run of success, you know, 11 years or 10 years.
Extraordinary, yeah.
And so I think Thunder fans are getting to experience the joy that comes with just having NBA basketball in your city. Sometimes I think about it like baseball. You know, you've got fans of, you know, the Cubs or the Red Sox, or like me, a Phillies fan. And like some years it's not a championship or bust season, but you just love hanging with the guys every day, you know, hanging with the guys every other night in the NBA, 82 nights a year. And sometimes that's just as rewarding as, you know, whether you're fighting for the 2 seed or the 1 seed, is just getting to experience that love and joy of playing basketball every night.
Yeah. And it's a little bit parallel. I mean, maybe not to the caliber of success that what the Golden State Warriors have experienced, but this question is posited. It's like, if someone tells you that the next 10 years of your life are going to be great, and, you know, maybe great is a playoff appearance, and they say, out of those next 10 years, though, you're going to have one kind of crummy or one kind of frustrating or different year where you're given a new perspective, but you still grow from it. You take that run time and time again. So it's kind
100%.
Of
100%. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And the Thunder, I mean, from having been in the mix of it right alongside you for a couple of years there, I love that team. I love the franchise. And I do have to say the fans have been spoiled in the best of ways with great basketball, and it's still going to continue. So I understand and appreciate that you're being able to look at it kind of like, hey, it's a little refreshing almost having a new era on the blue and orange out there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just there that weight of even internal. I mean, now look, they're going out there to win every game.
Yeah,
and they want to make the playoffs. But you know, there's not this crunch of, you know, weight, expectations, questions. If they lose a couple games, is it like, do they got to blow this up? You know, it's like, there's all sorts of things that come with being one of those teams that's expected to be in the final four of the NBA every single year. But, you know, that's what this organization now has set itself up to be able to do for another stretch run. I mean, this is why you do it, to be in the heart of competition, to be one of those final clubs left. And as, you know, some teams have seen over the last few years, like, I think the perfect examples have been the Toronto Raptors and the Dallas Mavericks, you know, about a decade ago, is if you give yourself a chance for a 5 to 10 year stretch where you're just really good, you might be in the final four, you're in the final six, you know, best teams every year, then it's kind of all about luck.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Raptors have things break their way all sorts of directions, with shots that hit the rim 12 times and drop in last year.
Injuries and, on the Golden State
Warriors. Yeah, the Warriors have some injuries, but they earned it. But you still need some of those breaks to go your way. And the Thunder really earned it for 10 years and put themselves in positions, and they just didn't quite have the breaks go their way. They were the ones that had the injuries year after year. And so what you hope to do is, you know, as you reposition, replenish, as Sam Presti said, now you have the chance to kind of reset, and for this next iteration of the Thunder, give yourself another 10 cracks at it, hopefully.
Absolutely. Now, and looking at the Clippers and a little bit the construct of their roster, last night, were you surprised at all with the way Trez had his way with Steven Adams?
No, I mean, this is what the Clippers do. It's the reason why they have the highest scoring bench in the league. Doc Rivers basically like sets up his rotation to take advantage of these types of situations with Harrell and Lou Williams. He knows that those guys are going to be able to, they're starters, but they're going to feast on second unit players, and they play more minutes than, you know, the starters did. Terrence Mann, Vika Subak, Mo Harkless, you know, those guys, Jamichael Green, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, they all played more minutes. And, you know, when the Clippers get Leonard back and they get Landry Shamet back, this team is just going to be a handful for people to deal with. You know, one thing that we saw last night is that the Clippers struggled some from the 3-point line. If you get Leonard and you get Shamet back, those issues will most likely go away. You'll see more wide open shots for George and Beverly and Mo Harkless and Jamichael Green and Lou Williams as well. So I think that this Clippers squad has a chance to be really, really good and be one of those teams that we've just been talking about that that puts themselves in the conversation in the, you know, the last four teams standing. And from there, it's anybody's got a chance.
Yeah. And it's interesting you pointed to that struggle from downtown, because that's been kind of the recurring theme over these early games. But if there's anything we've learned covering NBA seasons, it's that there's always a regression or progression to the mean. So I think when you do have elite shooters like that on the roster, it's positive signs that a team like the Clippers can still win and shoot in low 20s from beyond the arc, you know? So that's, like you said, nail on the head with that point. And it's also interesting, the reactions from, you know, Clippers Nation watching and kind of the apprehension that they feel with Kawhi and Paul not yet playing in the same games. I think everyone's just like, you know, sitting on pins and needles, waiting for this moment to come. But I appreciate the long approach, and you know, you take your time, you rest these guys. And if we've seen anything from last season, it's that Kawhi knows how to manage his body and make sure it's functioning fully when the moments matter the most.
Yeah, I mean, these opportunities also are great for your whole team throughout the course of the season. I mean, you're getting an opportunity to see what you have in Robinson and Magruder, and give these guys like Terrence Mann an opportunity to start in a tough game like the one last night against the Thunder. And you're going to need all of those guys throughout the course of the season, regardless of whether, you know, Leonard is playing every single night or not. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be, you know, moments of foul trouble. There's going to be matchups. There's going to be all sorts of things that you need to develop your entire roster throughout the whole season. So in some way, you know, here in the early going, I would couch it more, if I were a Clippers fan, as excitement and anticipation rather than anxiety, because
yes,
all you're doing right now is developing your group and continuing to allow it to flourish and grow as an entire cohesive unit. Once those guys get together, PG and Kawhi and Pat Bev and all of them, it'll click pretty quickly. I don't think that it's gonna take too much time for this team to start humming.
I like that. Encouraging words. The glass is half full from Nick Gallo's side of things. Now, before you sign off here, Nick, real quick, I want to get your opinions on a couple of teams that you're in the thick of the Western Conference with. Are you buying or selling stock on the following teams? We'll run through them quickly, and you can just say buy or sell. Denver Nuggets.
Buy. Denver's really talented. They've got a new addition, our guy that we loved in Oklahoma City, Jeremy Grant. He's a fantastic player, and you know, you put him alongside some of the other bigs that they have there, and they're really tough to cover. And also, he gives them another dynamic defensive tool to use, a guy that can go in and play multiple positions, defend multiple positions. But, I mean, the scoring from the perimeter and inside the paint, Denver's an excellent squad.
Yeah, even though they've dropped a couple at home already when their home record's normally excellent. I don't know, Nick. I don't know if I'm with you on that one. But, okay, moving on real quick, your opponent tonight, the Los Angeles Lakers, are they the real deal? Buy or sell?
I think they're the real deal. LeBron just continues to be a savant and able to change his game based on what his team needs. So he's averaging a career high in assists right now, almost 11 assists per game. Not scoring quite as much, but this team is going to get scoring from Anthony Davis, of course, and Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. What they really need is a guy that can move the defense, shift the defense, get guys in position, create easy buckets for one another. And LeBron's done that at a really high level to start this season. You know, obviously he's deep into his career, but we see that he can continue to just hold up over the years. He'll obviously, you know, manage his minutes and his body throughout the course of the year, but that's going to be a scary team to deal with.
That's right. He's playing lights out right now. Just astonishing what he's doing at that age. And we'll do one more team here really quickly. Former guy you know very well, Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the Houston Rockets. I know their offense and James, led by James, is doing insane things right now. Their defense was a little shaky to get things going, but I think over the past like 5 games, they've had one of the best defensive ratings in the league. So do you think this is going to sustain, buy or sell?
Yeah, they're figuring it out on the defensive end with kind of a junkyard dog in PJ Tucker and a guy in Clint Capella who just clears the glass. He had 20 rebounds against the Blazers last night. And you've got Russell Westbrook putting up triple doubles again, and Harden, he's so efficient because he gets to the line and he knocks down threes. So the thing I'll be curious about is their bench. You know, as games get tighter and those guys get relied upon more, it'll be interesting to see what they get out of their bench. But that starting group is definitely tough to deal with because they've got 4 guys who are really, really high level players in that starting unit.
As Russell said last night, people take greatness for granted.
Oh boy.
I know. Nick, I am so excited to have our reboot of Nick and Nikki show up and running. I'm going to see you also at the game tonight, but where can people find your work, read your work, follow you? Give me all the handles.
Yeah, sure. At OKCThunder.com is where all of my written work, video reports, practice reports, one-on-one interviews. As you mentioned off the top, our Thunder a la Court cooking show that we did with Darius Baisley, Deontay Burton.
Incredible.
That's there. A new coworker we've got at the Thunder, our digital reporter, Paris Lawson. She's a former D1 basketball player at Belmont. She and I have started the Thunder Basketball Universe podcast. So like and subscribe to that anywhere that you get your podcast. And then I'm our sideline reporter for our Fox Sports Oklahoma game. So if you're in the Oklahoma region, you can catch those games, obviously, on Fox Sports Oklahoma. And if not, get League Pass and check us out on League Pass as well. We're a really fun team to watch this year.
Awesome. Nick Gallo, thanks so much. You have a great day and looking forward to the next one. Thank you. And remember,
thanks for having me, Nikki.
Of course. And for everyone who's listening to this podcast, you can get it wherever you get your pods at or at clnsmedia.com.